Our hearts are with all the students, the teachers, and their families, of course. And we are grateful to the first responders and the law enforcement that were on the scene. But this is just a senseless tragedy on top of so many senseless tragedies. And it's just outrageous that every day in our country, in the United States of America, that parents have to send their children to school worried about whether or not their child will come home alive. It's senseless. It is. We've got to stop it. And we have to end this epidemic of gun violence in our country once and for all. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way.
I think we need to end the epidemic of not actually reporting things when people do shady stuff, and instead you let it build. And when people are on watch lists, you know, apparently they do enough things to be on a watch list, but apparently, you know, that's kind of the extent of it. We need to stop the epidemic of just ignorant comments in the wake of tragedies where we don't know all of the facts. You don't even know. They don't even have total confirmation on exactly what he used. Everybody's trying to, like, there immediately be an expert through photographs, through grainy photographs. I mean, that's what we have an epidemic of. That was the vice president yesterday remarking on the shooting that took place. We were on air when it was happening, Appalachia, the high school in Georgia, and everything started off yesterday. And there's a lot more that we know now. I have a piece that has some things up over at Substack. There's a lot that we, like I said, a lot that we know, more that we know about it now. And we're going to go through some of that. And then, of course, obviously, you also have all of the remarks from the, you know, all of the remarks that from lawmakers and surrogates and all this other stuff that, and we still, there's still a lot we don't know about it, but we got that in a lot today. So welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of this first hour here, and we're going to get started with all of it. The story with this came out. I saw the FBI statement on it. Apparently, they have this. I mean, it was a minor. It was reported as being 14 years old. On the FBI page, they were on the FBI statement. They were saying that, you know, the 13 year old that they had referenced. This was a minor. The minor was apparently on their radar for quite some time. They said that, and I have a piece here that illustrates this further. Apparently, this individual had been known for quite some time, had made threats before, and had been investigated for those, according to the FBI. This is from the AJC down there. This 14-year-old charged, he's being charged as an adult. He was confronted by a school resource officer and taken into custody. And in May of last year, apparently they received numerous anonymous tips about threats to commit a school shooting. And it was made on an online gaming site. The FBI and everybody got involved in it. They didn't identify a school or where it would happen. It said they had photos of weapons and that was it. They interviewed this 13-year-old along with his dad. And they said that, you know, the subject denied it. They conducted an investigation. But apparently this kid was troubled to the point where everybody and their brother knew about it. The aunt was on Facebook running her mouth about it. I mean, it was the aunt was on Facebook running her mouth about the her nephew. She deleted a lot of it. But I mean, you had to know that when you put all that kind of stuff up like that in the wake of a tragedy like this, people are going to immediately get screenshots of it. But the FBI had noted they investigated this, that they were, this was like the second time apparently he had come under investigation for all of this stuff. And it was just like wild. It's just absolutely wild. So they said they didn't have probable cause for arrest at that point, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, of course, you know, the family apparently didn't do anything about the issues that this kid was dealing with. Apparently had a horrible family life. From a lot of the stuff that's being reported. I don't know if there was like an abusive situation domestically or what it was, but it was, you know, apparently well known to, you know, law enforcement and had been interviewed, etc. So what was known to the FBI, apparently had called in. There was a call into the school earlier that day. And this is, you know, separate from the previous threats that they had made. There was a call into the school earlier that day wherein the threat was that there was going to be a school shooting and there were going to be five schools targeted and the Appalachian school was going to be the first. And then that call came in. I don't think law enforcement actually gave a time as to how early the call came in before the actual shots rang out. I don't think that that was not something that was, I was hoping it would be followed up on in the press conference and it wasn't. But that, I mean, so you've got a student there who was already known to the FBI and for making threats like this. Then you have more threats that come in. I mean, I just got a lot of questions. Why wouldn't you? I mean, I'd have been right there at that point. So this 14-year-old been on the radar for over a year. I mean, it's horrific. Two students, two teachers killed. I'm not going to say the kid's name. They said it. Law enforcement said it. I made mention of it one time in Substack for news purposes. But there is the copycat theory that is an actual scientific observation, and it has played into previous mass casualty incidents, namely Parkland. So at what point do you have the federal, you have the FBI involved, you have local law enforcement involved, you have this threat that is in the school. A lot of this is starting to sound eerily similar to Parkland and this known entity. And I was able to somehow get a long gun into the school. I don't know. And how was this 14-year-old able to access a long gun? You know, immediately Democrats go out and say, well, we got to ban this. We need red flag laws. You don't need a red flag law to make it illegal or for a 14-year-old to carry a long gun or a gun, period, or acquire a gun. It's illegal. That's already law. There's no exception to that. So I'm just trying to figure out what law they would propose to make that illegaler. Number one, murder is already illegal. Number two, carrying a gun on school grounds when for over 30 years it has been a gun-free zone. Gun-free zones for since 1990, since the Gun-Free School Zones Act. Since 1990, they've been gun-free zones. There's nothing you can do. And of the three school systems in Georgia that allowed for qualified carry by teachers who trained, etc., to carry, the Barrow school system, was not one of them. So we're going to talk more about this. These are all of the latest developments with this story. There were several others injured, but four fatalities from this yesterday, and a lot of questions still remain. Now, in addition to this, right before we were coming out on air, a development in the Hunter Biden case. So Hunter Biden is now pleading guilty. This is not the gun charge case. That's a completely separate thing. This is the tax evasion trial that's taking place in California. So he's changing his plea. He earlier had pled not guilty. Now he's changing his plea to guilty. It's a $1.5 million federal tax evasion trial. And there's a lot of questions as to why he's doing this. Some say maybe it is a plea deal, but does a plea deal really matter if his dad is going to pardon him? Now, I know that people say, well, you know, keep in mind, Dana, that Joe Biden said that he wasn't going to pardon Hunter Biden. Yes, however, that was before he dropped out of the race, if you remember. He had said he wasn't going to pardon him before he dropped out of the race. So now all of this is after he's dropped out of the race. And so it probably remains to be seen that I would say he's going to pardon him because all of this, I'm telling you, I think he's going to pardon him. So it doesn't matter what the plea deal is. It doesn't matter what he pleads. It doesn't matter the terms of any agreement. None of that matters if he's going to get pardoned. And again, I can't underscore this enough. That agreement that Biden made was specifically before he dropped out. Or was forced out. It was not like he dropped out, right? I mean, that's like more accurate to say he was forced out. Before he was forced out. So the plea deal, changing his plea, he doesn't want to go to trial. So when you plead guilty, you expedite the whole process and you can actually avoid a lengthy trial and you can avoid further scrutiny and you know where things are before the election happens. So by the time, you know, if he pleads, now that he's pled guilty, by the time this all, you know, winds down, he's going to know where he stands. It's going to be pretty obvious. And Joe Biden can pardon him at that particular point. So we're going to talk more about this as well. There's a couple of things with this. The debate, new development in the debate. So they've been fighting back and forth for, I don't know how long. Well, not really fighting back and forth. Trump just said, I'm agreeing to the original terms, take him or leave him. So now Harris was arguing with herself. She was unable to persuade ABC News to change a few things about the debate, namely the muting of the microphones. Because remember, Trump didn't request that. Biden requested it. And that's what they agreed to. Well, then they switched out Biden for Kamala. And then she demanded the unmuting of the microphones because she wanted to be able to go out and say, oh, Trump tried to interrupt me, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And Trump said, no, we're going to stay with the original agreement that we had with the debate. We're going to stick with it. So now the campaign, they finally acquiesced. They're going to have the microphones remain muted. So the microphones will stay muted. I can't believe all of this back and forth for this, because you knew it was going to come down to this. I can't believe ABC went on back and forth for this long as they, it's just so stupid. The whole thing is so dumb. So that's the latest. So, and the debate's next week. The debate is next week, y'all. So we're obviously we're going to cover that. So there's a lot of stuff to touch on. We also have some of the latest with the election, domestic issues, some issues on the right. We got a lot to hit as we roll towards our headlines already. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And if you're really serious about protecting your values, then you need to do the most basic thing on God's green earth, which is to switch your cell phone service. Why would you not want to go with a service that's going to save you money and also not going to spend all of your hard-earned dollars on DEI stuff and all of that nonsense? Because I guarantee you, that's if you're not with Patriot Mobile, you're spending money on that already. That's what your phone company is sending your hard-earned dollars to. You're also helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs because they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. And like I said, they got plans to fit every single budget. You're going to have money saved. Families of all sizes, businesses of all sizes, dinks and non-dinks, whatever it is you are. Free activation with code Dana. And you can also get a free month of service right now using offer code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by others pretending to share your values. Switch to the real thing. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently a new study, being mentally resilient could be the key to living longer. All right, duh. Guess what? Breathing air means you're alive. Wearing shoes means that you want stuff on your feet. I mean, this is so stupid.
I mean, if you're dumb, you don't survive as long?
So wild. Like, if you don't know not to walk out in traffic, that, you know, it's kind of crazy, right? It's very interesting. Anyway. Also, moving up, bacteria can survive being zapped in the microwave. I don't like that at all. Wall Street Journal has this story. Yeah, I don't like that. They've been doing studies on this, and they found 747 kinds of heat-resistant microbes flourishing in microwaves. And you just got to put alcohol on everything. Just put alcohol or bleach on everything. I live by that. I'm telling you. That's just what you got to do. That's what you got to do. Space Marine 2 is out today. Literally, I could stop the show right now and go play it. I could leave this broadcast right now. Warhammer 40K, Space Marine 2.
It's only for those pre-order people, though, right?
Yeah, it's only for the pre-order people. Gotcha. A special people who pre-ordered it. It is out now, and you can play it now, but only if you pre-ordered it. And so I'm staying here and doing a service right here. I'm not being a 15-year-old boy and running away and playing a video game. I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not. Canada is turning away more foreigners amid what they said is a rise in anti-immigration sentiment. First off, let's correct something about this stupid headline from The Guardian, which is nothing more than Karl Marx's toilet paper. The accurate way to say it is that they are turning people away who are entering illegally and falsely claiming amnesty or asylum. And there is a rise in a decrease in tolerance for illegal immigration and illegal entry. That is the thing. Stop saying that it has to do with immigration. It has, because people who immigrate to the United States also don't like illegal immigration. So stop it. I mean, I just, how racist is that? That's what the left thinks. The left thinks that people who immigrate to the United States can't dislike illegal immigration because they assume that they're all minorities. And all minorities think alike, right? That's what Democrats think. That's honestly what they think. They're some of the most racist POSs. The most racist people I've ever met in my life have always been on the left.
The Borg.
Horrifically racist.
The Borg.
It is. But that's how they think. Southern California, heat wave, temperatures up to 119 degrees. Well, guess what? It's summer. It's in a desert. Yeah. Did you see the headlines where they said now there's been, 50 consecutive days of 100 degrees in Arizona? Again, summer, desert, yeah. It's kind of how that works. And in other news, the ocean is wet. Slightly moist near the Sargasso Sea, which we also know is Kane's favorite word.
Wasn't even necessary for you to say.
Well, it is.
Not really.
It's a headline. It's a real headline that I just said right now.
It's not a headline.
The ocean is moist. It is. It's very... He hates that and old people. I mean, I don't know. I can't deal with him. I'm trying real hard. Now they're trying to say that Trump has to stop using the song, Hold On, I'm Coming at rallies. There was a federal court judge. I love that they're just... It's a Sam and Dave 1960 soul classic, Hold On, I'm Coming. He apparently was using it at rallies. Well, if you're paying like BMI or ASCAP, if you're a musician and you license out your work to BMI, ASCAP, etc., that means other people can pay to license it to use it for their events. Then you don't get to complain about it. So shut up and choke on your money and just be happy, right? At least you know where your money's coming from, unlike some people on the right who are just cashing checks from Russians and not even checking. What? We're going to talk about that coming up. Seriously, I hate everything. Isaac, it came on behalf of the Isaac Hayes estate, that lawsuit. We've got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. ReadyWise, with ReadyWise, you know where your food's coming from. I like that you know where the chain of command is at all times. So all of this premium survival food is all made with high quality U.S. ingredients. So that's a number one plus. Number two is that it's made with U.S. ingredients in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant, and it's shipped out from that U.S. plant. So you know where your food's coming from. You're also supporting and maintaining, creating new jobs as well by supporting this business. All the food that they have, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. It's emergency food that is really, really good. Premium survival food that's going to be ready for you no matter what may happen. Natural disaster, power outage, unexpected storm. You're prepared and you have the confidence knowing that you're going to be able to feed your family no matter what happens. So they have their 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get one. $100 in value for just $50. Two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food. You get all your three hots, snacks, drinks, over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And they also have 20% off when you use promo code Dana20 at checkout. That gets you 20% off any regularly priced item. So head on over to ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout. Get that 20% off. Check out that 72-hour food kit. It's buy one, get one right now. That's $100 in value for $50. What are you waiting for? ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
We continue to call on Congress to do something. To do something. We need universal background checks. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Require safe storage of firearms, invest in violence prevention programs, and pass a national red flag law. Enough is enough. And I cannot say this enough, which is enough is enough. We cannot allow this to happen in our communities.
Yeah, so that was yesterday. That was Karine Jean-Pierre, the response to the shooting that took place in Georgia. And the four fatalities there, two students and two adults. And they keep saying, well, it was another preventable tragedy. It was. I mean, it was a complete failure to act. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. You can follow along. Also, the simulcast, Channel 347 DirecTV, as well as Rumble and X, where we are. The problem is that you don't need a red flag law to act upon a lot of the stuff that we're seeing with these students. I go back to Parkland. You know, Parkland, there was, you didn't need a red flag law for Parkland. That dude had already held a gun to another student's head. He punched his own mother's teeth out of her head. He had made repeated online death threats to numerous students. He was so violent and disruptive in school that when he did attend, he had to have an actual minder follow him and attend every class with him. These are things that weren't made known to the public because a lot of these people on the left, they want you to think that that they try to fearmonger you into thinking that you could be next, when really there was an absolute string of actions that they failed to take any kind of response on. And it's sad because it's all preventable. And this one apparently is just like this. I mean, the FBI were aware of him. Apparently local law enforcement, at some point it becomes a federal issue due to the nature of the crime. But a lot of the reporting out there showed that they'd been aware of him because he was making online death threats. Now, you can't make online death threats. There's free speech, but then there are also things called fighting words and, other considerations that actually are not protected from any kind of action, legal action on that. And so he apparently was threatening to shoot up his school. He had gotten the FBI got all kinds of tips. Local law enforcement interviewed the boy and his parents, and somehow he was still able to get his hands on a firearm, even though he's 14 years old. He, at the time that this happened, he was 13. He couldn't go out, and even at 14, couldn't go out and legally purchase and legally carry a firearm. So you don't need a red flag law to make that illegaler. He was already committing an illegal act. And the local law enforcement in the school district, I'm really curious as to how that communication worked, particularly in this case, because after Parkland, the FBI had to change how they handled tips. The FBI apparently, so not only did local law enforcement, the Broward County Sheriff's Office, under horrible, hideous cop, bad cop Scott Israel, who was shamed out of his position, they received a ton of tips. Apparently the FBI received tips that then they passed on to the sheriff's office. And we already know that they didn't follow up on a number of them. They ended up getting like 60 some odd tips. And a lot of them were from the killer's own family in Parkland. And we don't know in this instance, what was that communication like between the feds and local law enforcement, or the school district and local law enforcement, or the feds and the school district? I mean, was the school aware that the FBI had watched this kid for a year? Were they aware? Were they aware that the FBI had him on their radar for a year? Now, here's the question that I have. If you're a school and you know that a student in your school is literally on the FBI's radar and had repeatedly made threats to shoot up the school, are you made aware of it? And if you're not, isn't that a big issue? Don't you think that the public deserves to know this? And if the school didn't know, why? If the school did know, what did they do to protect students? Did parents in the school district receive any kind of notification from the Barrow County school system that this threat exists within the school? Did they reach out to the killer's parents and talk to the parents of the family? I mean, I'm curious. This also gets into this case too, and I'm not going to get too far into this aspect of it until we know more. But it also gets into the issue of negligence. And I bring this up because time and time again, and I hear this a lot from anti-gun people. In fact, after Parkland, you know, people were mad at me, like, why didn't you do something to prevent, or, you know, what, like, I was somehow responsible for doing Scott Israel's job, or Robert Runcie, the superintendent of Marjory Stoneman Douglas in that school district. But what about the role of the family or the parents? Now, I made mention of the aunt who was on Facebook, who apparently knew that this kid had been dealing with some stuff. So apparently the parents knew that this kid had been dealing with some stuff. And if they knew that this kid had been dealing with some stuff, then let's focus on where, first off, why didn't this kid get help? Number one. Number two, how did this kid access a weapon that he's legally barred from purchasing or carrying? And if he got it from his parents, obviously theft is illegal. But then it gets into the question of negligence, because there are negligence laws. You don't need storage laws because you have negligence laws. Negligence laws cover that already. The idea of having storage is just to give allow the government to come into your house and inspect your belongings, and people who don't shoot guns and have know nothing about guns, for them to make the determination as to how you store things they have know nothing about. So the question of negligence comes up because of the case, that Crumley case in Michigan, where you had a woman who was convicted on 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter because her son had shot up Oxford High School. This was back in November of 2021. And her, the Crumleys, the parents, they were charged. And the prosecution argued that they had a criminal responsibility because they completely ignored the signs that he was depressed to the point where he was dangerous to himself or others. And knowing this, for Christmas, they gave him a gun. And the prosecutors, it's a weird case because the prosecutors were arguing, they were projecting. They were arguing on what they wanted the law to be rather than what it was. But the bottom line is that I think because they were already sentenced, I believe. But they were being brought up on negligence charges. So then looking at this case, well, what is the negligence? Let's just, for the sake of this discussion, if the parents allowed him to access illegally, 14 years old, knowing that he's very troubled to the point where he's already threatened to kill people and he's a danger to himself or others, and that's something you got to prove in court, by the way. You can't just assume it. Is there a negligence liability there with the parents? That's the other question that comes up. I mean, there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered. And the law enforcement yesterday at the press conference, they would not confirm what he actually used, and they wouldn't confirm, you know, the rounds. They wouldn't confirm how he got it. They didn't say how he got it or anything. I mean, we know not a whole heck of a lot more than what we did prior. I mean, going into the press conference. Now, you know, you hear the discussion of quote unquote universal background checks. That's so stupid. That's not going to do a damn thing. We hear that over and over again. Universal background checks, you have to create a national registry in order to make that happen. In California, my friends who carry out in California have to carry a card with them, and it lists everything that they own, all their guns. Exactly. The state knows exactly what you have. The state knows what you have. Keep in mind, this is the same state in New York. Remember when they quote unquote accidentally published a list of concealed carry owners, accidentally, their home addresses? So in the paper, so criminals could go out and just see. Unbelievable. Do you trust the state with that kind of information? I sure as hell don't. I mean, it's ironic. The reason that you have firearms is not just for self-defense, but also a healthy check on your right in this republic, a check against tyranny and government. And yet that same tyranny and government wants to be able to control what you have. It's wild. But in California, they have a card. They have a registry there. It's never prevented a singular damn thing. The other thing, too, is it would overburden an already error-ridden system, which is a whole other issue, the national background check system, because that already, the false positives it spits out and the errors, etc. I mean, it's sometimes I wonder if it was set up purposefully to be as Rube Goldberg as possible, so that when it does fail, people can use that as a way to argue that, well, you shouldn't have guns because we tried this and it doesn't work. It's almost like it's set up, designed purposefully to fail. So that aside, we have federal law preventing a national registry. You have to have a national registry in order for quote unquote universal background checks to work. Furthermore, it presupposes that this kid was even going to go through a background check in the first place. He's 14 years old. It's illegal for him to purchase or carry. This is the idiotic argument to even be used here in Parkland or in any other of these mass casualty incidents. And by and large, over 80 something, it's like 83-86% of crime. These firearms are obtained on the black market. Don't trust me for that. You can trust two different surveys from that. Both of them came from Barack Obama's Eric Holder DOJ. And they surveyed inmates in the federal penitentiary system. So they were asking them where they got their firearms. So this is stupid. This is just, you're basically saying we need to catalog all the guns that the innocent people have so we know what the criminals do. That's all that is. But I want to talk for a moment about the school system, the school here. And I'm asking these questions as a way to learn more and not cast aspersions. But what was done if it was already known that this student had threatened to shoot up the school before? Was what changed from then to him being in the classroom now? You see what I'm saying? Was anything done? If you had kids in a classroom where you knew one of the other students there had previously threatened to murder everyone, what would you as a parent want to see done? And even if the parents were aware, were they even aware? That's the other question. So before we start pointing fingers at innocent people who have done nothing, I think we need to ask questions about everything that I just mentioned here. Because this seems like where the solution lies. And the public deserves answers. And quite frankly, these victims' families, they deserve justice. In an era where daily election headlines and political turmoil can create a sense of unrest, having a peaceful retreat is more important than ever. Cozy Earth's exceptional products can be instrumental in helping you establish a sanctuary within your own home. Their sheet set is a standout favorite of mine. You get unmatched comfort and a nice soothing touch. You can create your own sanctuary with Cozy Earth's best-selling bamboo sheet set made from 100% premium viscose from bamboo. The softness of their sheets and the quality of their materials will truly elevate your space and turn your bedroom into a cozy haven. And if you're seeking to transform your living environment into a serene escape, Cozy Earth also offers the perfect solution to create that tranquil home that you've been longing for. With a 10-year guarantee, these sheets are a long-lasting investment in quality. So get the ultimate in comfort and up to 40% off at CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you in the post-purchase survey and you can get free socks. That's CozyEarth.com/Dana and use code Dana to get up to 40% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Do you think there could be a gay James Bond?
I mean, guys, please. Let's be adult in the room for a second. There is no way around the fact that nobody would ever know James Bond desires, period. Having said that, now, the important thing is that he does his missions properly.
Or maybe, I don't know, people could get off their lazy intersectional asses and write their own character that's, you know, a spy thriller, and then they can foist whatever gender identity they want up on that character instead of trying to appropriate a long-established character and reconfigure it into something that it isn't. Stop being lazy. Maybe be a little bit more imaginative. I mean, hell, if you can imagine that you don't have a penis, then maybe you can imagine yourself a whole brand new character, you know? I mean, good grief. I mean, where does the imagination go? Apparently not very far with some of these folks. So true. Is right? I mean, you can sit here and imagine that, you know, your vagina is a schlong, but you can't sit here and imagine like a brand new character. You got to appropriate something else. I mean, my gosh, I thought you people were imaginative. Try harder. So annoying. Good on Daniel Craig sitting there. He's like, are you kidding me? I get these stupid questions. Who asks that? See, if I were one of these directors, I would hire someone for these events that specifically goes out into the audience and slaps one of these reporters for asking stupid questions. And then you got to sit down now. And he's got to be kind of cagey about it. Why be cagey? Just say no. Just say no. No. By the way, I went and saw Beetlejuice last night. I actually saw Dean Cain at the theater. They had a few people out for a thing that they did for God's Not Dead, but I was going to the same theater. And I went and saw Beetlejuice. And it was great because Tim Burton rejects wokery. He is not a woke dude. And they had like one thing in there, like a headline that talked about climate change for the Zoomers. But then they made fun of it because Catherine O'Hara's character, Delia, had said, you know, well, you can go ahead and give up your inheritance and go live on a tree hugger salary is what she'd said at one point. And I laughed out loud. It was legit funny. It was a non-woke, nice, nostalgic, early fall, late summer romp. It was very good. So you will not be disappointed if you go see it. It was very good. It was nostalgic. There were some very, you know, you're never going to recapture like the original spark, but you can come pretty close. And it made sense as this sequel. It made sense as a storyline. It didn't seem like it was cobbled together to do like a money chasing sequel. It was good. It made sense. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it yesterday. And and Michael Keaton is always amazing. Monica Bellucci is like one of the most beautiful women in film. She's in this. And of course she's Tim Burton's girlfriend now. He's got a thing for putting his ladies in. She was really a really good character in this. But she's in it. She's, you know, delivers a fabulous performance. Justin Theroux was so, I hated him. He was very good in his role. I hated him. I wanted to punch him in the face in this. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to give anything away. But I didn't get the popcorn bucket. What? You know why? Because these little snots went out and all got the popcorn bucket. I wanted to get the sandworm popcorn bucket. It's all I wanted. It's my birthday month. I wanted the sandworm popcorn bucket. And it was gone. And I'm not going to say that I didn't have the sads, because I did, and I'd be lying. But it was a good movie, and I, you know, was able to get my Sour Patch Kids and all that, which is truly, by the way, the king of theater candy. And if you disagree, think you might be a communist. Just saying. All right, we got a lot more on the way, including the debate next week, right? Kamala's campaign faith director. What is that? What role is that? We're going to talk about all of this coming up. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It is the folks over at Burn a Gun, the non-firearm firearm, because, you know, there are some places that are gun-free zones, and that's just the reality of private property and the reality of life. And so in this situation, you know, you want to make sure that you're able to defend yourself, and this is where Burn a Gun comes in. It's a Burn a Gun, non-firearm firearm. It's legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks or permits required, and it can be shipped directly to your door. And gun-free isn't applicable to Burna, and it's practical whenever you're going into a gun-free zone. And so you can learn more about the Burna. Visit Burna.com/Dana, B-Y-R-N-A, Burna.com/Dana, and get 10% off. That's B-Y-R-N-A, Burna.com/Dana for 10% off.
It's much more sophisticated than what we've seen out of the Russians in the recent past, certainly than what we saw in 2016. Yes, they're using social media, but they're much more pervasive at it. They're creating false persona, using artificial intelligence to help drive content and distribute content. And they're much more resourced and organized, using RT, what was formerly just a propaganda organ for the Kremlin, now has turned into a full covert influence activity with full funding to do this kind of work by funneling resources and organizing editorial content in actual media outlets.
Did they touch on Putin endorsing Harris? That audio that came out today? Just curious. Just, you know, just wondering about that. Got some questions about that. Just, this is John Kirby talking about Russian influence. Welcome back to the program. The program, Dana. We're talking about Pennsylvania accents on break with Steve. Dana Lash here. I was going to try to do it. I can't even do it. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the top of this second hour. And you can also find us Channel 347 DirecTV, X, Rumble, Substack, over at Substack as well. Also there. And it's good to be with you this fine Thursday. We've been going over the latest from this shooting that took place in Georgia. And we've also been talking about this Russian election interference. It's like the big bad boogeyman. It's always, this is right on time from the left, right on time from the left, right in time for elections. And this accusation from the DOJ, they're saying that it's Russian President Vladimir Putin. He ordered several Russian companies to target Americans through the use of influencers and social media pages to spread propaganda and interfere with the election in a campaign titled Doppelganger. So the DOJ is charging two Russian-based employees of RT. RT is Russia Today. RT hates me. So, side story. They used to ask if I would go on the show and go on their network or whatever and give, for commentary. And I never agreed to do it because it's literally founded and funded by the Kremlin. And I'm just like I always turn down Al Jazeera. I would never do interviews with Al Jazeera. The only time I ever talked to RT was when I crashed Netroots in Rhode Island. That's the big lefty. I didn't crash. I bought a ticket and walked right the hell in. And I walked right up to their cameras and I just was clowning on them and they got mad at me and turned them off. So that was like literally the only time I ever spoke with them. So anyway, they are charging two of these employees of RT, a Russian state-controlled media outlet, with conspiring to commit money laundering and to violate the FARA, Foreign Agents Registration Act. And they had some of the domains in there. They said that they had one Twitter profile that had 7 followers. They had another YouTube channel. They had all this stuff out there. Here's the problem with this, because, and I do think it's interesting. I think you can chew gum and walk at the same time. I kind of would like to figure out what the hell happened with Secret Service. You know, that would be great if we could figure that out. You know, would be nice. And I would also like to, you know, we want to talk about outside influence. It's really ironic coming from the administration where the son just pled guilty in tax evasion charges, almost, you know, $1.5 million. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because he was getting lots of sweet cash and literal diamonds from the communist Chinese to try to merch out his dad's elected office and influence our government. But, you know, let's look at the influencers with, you know, 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. Sure. Okay. But I will say this, as it pertains to the right, because a story came out about some folks on the right, and I know some of these people. I need you to understand my perspective on stuff. I don't play well with others, so I don't get invited to do like a lot of this stuff. Kane's dying right now, because you know it's true. You can just help. You can be honest about it.
Yeah, it's true.
I hate people, and I hate them for good reason. I pretty much hate almost everyone in my industry, so I don't do the buddy-buddy stuff. There's like very few people I get along with. Because I think I am allergic to selloutism, and I don't feel like I have to debase myself for clicks or to gain influence. That's not really how it works in this industry anymore, but I don't care because I just can't do that. And I don't want to just share stupid content with people. I feel like we've known each other for a long time, and you don't want to be involved in boring conversations and you don't want boring content. So I'm just not going to repurpose stupid platitudes and all that other stuff and aggregate stuff you've read a million times over. But I also think too that there's the allure of cash for some, like making a quick buck. And some people get involved in stuff and they don't check to see where their source of funding comes from. And that's a huge problem. And you got to be really careful with this industry. Now, I have this piece. Where's this at? It talks about the rise of, where is this? The political influencer. Gosh, it's such a, that used to not be a word. It says, welcome to the influencer era of politics. It's a piece that's over at Real Clear Politics. And it's an interesting piece, because it gets into how we are essentially creating that kind of influencer sort of, you know, approach. We're doing that with this. We're doing that with politics now too, which is really annoying, but there it is. And so we have the switch from cable news to digital, and how people consume their media and how they get their news is changing. And it has created a major opening for, you know, lots of voices. And I'm all for, you know, more voices, not fewer voices. But I do think that to the common consumer, or I don't want to say just like reader or viewer, I do think you need to pay attention to where your stuff is coming from. And some things seem really obvious. Like so there's this piece that came out. Where did this first emerge? It's all over. It's like all now it's everywhere. It's like it about this right wing network called Tenet Media, where they're accused of allegedly spreading Russian disinformation. Is this one of the things, because the DOJ is saying that the state owned RT that they contracted with this entity, with Tenet. So they come out and they're saying that there are some influencers on the right in this indictment that are somehow compromised by association with Tenet Media. And they were saying that it included a number of right-leaning commentators, like just maybe four or five. It's not a ton of them. Tenet has a couple hundred thousand followers on YouTube, and they got a couple thousand on other social. The way that I get it when I was looking at this indictment was people were taking, accepting money from it, and they would ask a couple of questions about where the money comes from, but apparently the network created like a fictional people to say that the money came from this person or this entity, and it was entirely fictional, and they just thought that was enough to assuage any kind of concerns or suspicions from the people asking questions. And so I think you could say that there were individuals that were duped into working with this entity. I also think, too, that you got to do serious due diligence when you're taking checks, and you have to know where your money comes from, especially in this era. Especially in this era. You have to be very, very careful. I cannot tell you how many times I have said no, personally have said no. And you almost get a reputation of not wanting to work with other people. But because if I can't figure out where your money stream is, your revenue stream is coming from, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And you got to be very, very careful that it's very easy to take checks and cash them. But whose money are you taking, and what is the purpose of it, and what do they expect to get out of it? And I don't think that there's any excuse to not do that due diligence. I think that you owe your audience. I think that you owe the movement that you claim to be a part of. And some of these people are very new to the movement. I think that you owe it to that to be very particular and to do that due diligence and make sure that you know where the revenue is coming from. And I don't think that that's a big ask, you know? But apparently one of the people that's mentioned in this, a lot of folks were saying, well, you could definitely see when this chick started taking money from this, you know, because then she started, did like a Kane. What is your face?
I'm just anticipating what's going to be said. That's all.
What do you mean what's going to be said?
I just know where you're going. That's all.
Where am I going with this?
Just go.
Such a smart aleck.
Just go.
My whole point is that with some of it, you could kind of tell. I have my suspicions on some people. I've met a lot of people. There's only a couple events that I've gone to where I've met some of these folks. And there are people that I've been in this, you know, on the right leaning movement since my 20s. And there are a lot of people that I've kind of, quote unquote, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, grown up with. And I know who some of the real ones are, and some of the new ones that have come in, you know, you can kind of tell if they're a real one or not. You know, you can sort of tell if they're in it because they really believe it, and they don't really care about chasing revenue, or if they're in it for clicks and they're chasing revenue. And it's really, really apparent. And I know this gets too much into the weeds for the average everyday person. The average everyday person doesn't give a rat's ass about any of this stuff, because this is just palace intrigue. This is just like, you know, when you have the New York media entities that, you know, fight or have their inner drama workings or whatever. It's the same thing. Most average everyday people, they don't care how they're getting their news, just that they're getting news, just that they're getting a perspective. They don't really care so much about the formation of it or where it came from or, you know, who's doing what. I do think that you do need to at least, I do think that you have as a consumer and as an American a responsibility to just be a little bit, make sure that you are using some discretion when you are incorporating certain content as part of your view. Or whether you are measuring whether or not that is a legitimate point or not. I think that you do have to be careful with some of that stuff. And as Kane asked, he asked, is Tenet the problem, or are all of these clients at Tenet? These are people who apparently worked for them. They took money from them, and they, without realizing that apparently it came from, you know, the Russians or something like that, to that effect. So I do think it's funny that I feel like some of these Russian stooges that are trying to defend Tenet, and that's exactly what they are. It's funny because they're like, well, didn't you work for the National Rifle Association? No, I never worked for them, ever. And try harder. Not just because you're a Russian stooge doesn't mean we all are. Try harder. I mean, there's also a reason why I literally have no fewer than 3 attorneys and 2 agents look over every single thing I do. And never, and I don't, and I've been around as long as I have been without being tethered to a network. There's a reason. I'm very, very, very particular about the choices that I make and who I work with and the decisions I make. And I'm just saying that with a lot of the new folks that are coming in, you have to apply that same level of scrutiny to these relationships and these opportunities that you're receiving. You've got to vet them. And it might look good on the surface, but when you start digging into it, and we've had some people approach us before. I've had people come to me and say, oh, we'd like to partner with you on this or that. And when I know what questions to ask, and when I subject them to one of my attorneys, and I have bulldog attorneys, when I introduce them to my attorneys and be like, you can talk to this, or you can talk to my representative here. The ones that melt away are the ones that were shady. And I'm not saying that I saw some of these coming, but just, you know, you got to be very, very careful, folks. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to the movement. You owe it to the Republic. So don't just be chasing clicks and checks. You know, put a little bit of due diligence into it, because you also owe your allies this as well. You owe your allies with your due diligence. Imagine if you had a GPS for your body's engine in your hands. That's exactly what you get with Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach. Lumen is a breath-based metabolism tracker. It's a little tiny, see? You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day, and you get a metabolism snapshot and personalized nutrition plan. Then the app tells you if you're burning fat or if you're burning carbs. And when your metabolism is firing on all cylinders, you get a whole bunch of other benefits. I mean, you get smoother weight management, a boost in energy, enhanced fitness results, and even better sleep. But it doesn't stop there. This very nifty little device also adjusts its advice to keep your metabolism in check through hormonal shifts. So taking all factors into account, it's all based on real-time data and proven science. With Lumen, you're always in the driver's seat. So take the guesswork out and know with real data what your body needs. Take the next step in improving your health and visit lumen.me/Dana Show to get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show for 15% off of your purchase.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I have no idea. How is this a study? They said picking your nose apparently can raise your risk of dementia. Well, this medical journal, Kane, says otherwise. They say that germs are transferred from the fingers to the nose, where they travel to the brain and cause inflammation. And that can give you the Alzheimer's. You didn't know that? Oh, no, you do. I don't know. Just saying. A homeowner receives complaints after setting up a Halloween display in August. What? Who is complaining? No, I'm not upset that they actually put up a Halloween display in August. This is in Ohio, Fairfield, Ohio. A homeowner says she received complaints because she put up her annual Halloween display earlier this year. It's Nightmare on Bibbury Street. And she says that normally it begins the second week of August. This year she wanted to get a head start because her husband has been ill. And I think people need to leave her alone. Leave her alone. I mean, her husband has been ill. She's doing something that brings her joy. He's fighting a disease. Stop it. Right. Just stop.
People are putting up like Christmas decorations next month.
Yeah. I mean, well, so apparently we have a lot of Venezuelans who listen to the radio program. That's a thing, to put up your Christmas decorations in October. I had 11 million people contact me yesterday saying that that is actually a thing. Is it just is it just like Venezuelans that start putting up Christmas stuff in October? Like, where do the Dominicans come in? Like, where do, you know, Puerto Rico? Where does everybody else come in? Like, Colombia, where are you at? Like, when are you putting up Christmas decorations? You know, let's like get into it. Like, Argentina, when are you doing it? I'm just, you know, let's get everybody. Because ours is like, what, November? I don't know. It's interesting. So anyway, leave the lady alone. She has every right to put up her Halloween decorations. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Hi. I'm Matthew, a theater major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
The great Abraham Lincoln described the Constitution as a picture or frame of silver, built to guard or protect an apple of gold. This apple of gold was the Declaration of Independence and its principle of equal rights for all. This principle of equal rights, Lincoln said, clears the path for all, gives hope to all, and by consequence, enterprise and industry to all. There are many today who seek to limit or distort this great principle by employing a distorted definition of equality, an equality of condition or outcome, regardless how people live their lives. This distortion, if generally accepted, will lead to an America less prosperous and less free.
To learn more, and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
This Constitution Minute was furnished by Hillsdale College.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was down like 18 or 19 points after the debate. I hate mosquitoes. I'm surprised. I didn't think we had. We don't like those mosquitoes running around. We want nothing to do with them. But and we want nothing to do with bad politicians that hate our country, too. You want to know?
Just brings it back. I share his disdain for mosquitoes. Blank those mosquitoes. Trump 24. I know. Welcome back to the reason that I isolated that is because I hate mosquitoes to death and I've never heard a politician talk about it. Why are they here? Why do we have them? Why do they exist? What purpose do they serve? There are a lot of smart people that listen out there in radio land. None of you have offered me any justification for why they exist, not even in the form of entertainment, because they have no purpose on this earth. They're here to just plague us. You know that Far Side comic where Gary Larson represents God, like mixing up the world, and he's got the earth in a pot, and then he's grabbing spices like butterflies, and then he has one that says jerks. He has one that says mosquitoes too. Oh man. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. So we have the debate next week. This is a big week for me because Beetlejuice came out, and a big like 7-day spread. Beetlejuice came out, Space Marine 2 is out today, and the debate's next week. I mean, I feel like a little kid where, you know how excited you were as a little kid when it was like a cartoon on in the evening and you got new crayons and, you know, you got a snack and you could sit in front of the television and color and eat it like at night watching a cartoon. It's like, that's how I feel right now. It's the little things in life, you know. But I bring this up because I think where the polls are right now, and it's been showing Trump and Harris kind of neck and neck, and then it showed Harris with a little bit of a bounce. I think that that's maybe sort of left over from the convention. I think convention bounces are going away. We haven't really seen that play out a lot in the past several years. Everything's been changing. And I also think how we consume media is affecting that. But the debate, I think, is where we're going to get a real measure, a real actual feel, because everything's going to, I think a lot of things are going to change after the debate with the surveys, with the polling. Right now, it had Kamala Harris kind of in the lead. And I think some of this is independents and moderates. And I've been reading different think pieces on it because everybody's trying to get into the psychology of why it is the way it is. And it's not that I think that these surveys are wrong. I don't think that they were wrong in 2022. They were warning of a red wave that literally never materialized. Same in 2020. The Republican enthusiasm was down and the RNC had no idea how to turn that around. And I haven't seen them. I still question as to whether or not they're being very effective at that right now. But I think this debate, depending on how it pans out, is going to shift everything pretty significantly, and early voting will be starting. That's especially in some of these earlier states. I think North Carolina, I think theirs is the first. And it's been such a shortened, let me put it like this. I've never been in a weirder election cycle. And when I'm breaking down how to present certain things to you, it's been made exponentially more difficult because of what Democrats have done on their side. Trump got started super early, which was annoying because it dragged out the whole election cycle to be a lot earlier. So we couldn't chill, as you know, for a little bit. But then all of a sudden, after it dragged out and it seemed as though enthusiasm was plateauing, then you had this huge shakeup on the left, which was kind of a jolt to their plateaued enthusiasm. But then it also meant a hyper condensed campaign time for them, like a 6-week period, essentially. And now we're getting into the last legs of that. And so this debate is supremely important, very important. I'm not quite sure this is, yeah, and of course, Trump, I think, also started early because of the lawsuits. But this is, I think he's going to do well. I think that the people who support Trump and who are going to vote Republican are going to walk away still supporting Trump and voting Republican. Same thing for the Harris side of the equation. It all comes down on everything determined in the margins and where those independents and moderates are. Do you think that those people are going to be swayed by her woman shtick? She's going to be playing the woman card so much. I kind of want to skip next week, to be honest, right?
She may also.
I mean, really. If he needs to stick on the economy and the border, he needs to bring everything back to the economy, everything back to the border, because she's going to do everything she can to be like, you're a man dominating me, blah, blah, blah. That's why she wanted the unmute button didn't want the mute button. That's how she is going to try to game this. She does not have the record to be able to authoritatively stand toe to toe on achievements. She just doesn't. So she's got to think of something else. She's got to go to identity politics. She's got to do all that stuff. And that's they have to play that. Although I don't know if that's going to work. And here's why. Kamala Harris has the same lack of likability that Hillary Clinton had in 2016. It's very similar. I had a piece, and I think it was over at Forbes. This was like way back in 2020, where someone on the left had remarked that, it was a talking head on the left who had remarked that the absence of any amiability that Harris has or doesn't is very similar to how the left also felt towards Hillary Clinton. You know what I mean? She's not like Margaret Thatcher. Seemed empathetic, and you know, she was a ball buster, but smart, kind, but empathetic. And even Barbara Bush, to an extent, is like that. You look at Kim Reynolds in Iowa, governor of Iowa, she's very much like that. You know, a ball buster, empathetic. She's a very popular governor. There are these traits that these female leaders have where they don't eschew that empathetic quality, and they have that ability to resonate with voters and speak to them on that level and still be something other than a politician to them. Whereas all Hillary Clinton is to these people is a politician, and that's all she's ever wanted to be, because that's how she and third wave and fourth wave define women, by the what you are, not who you are. And Harris is the same way. And I think these really, it gets into the psychology of it, but I think it really, really undercuts them at the ballot box. And I think this is going to be the same problem. I wanted to play this. Audio Soundbite 16, Huma Abedin. They're still going with this. And this is setting up because they're supporters of Harris. And, you know, she's dating George Soros' son.
And you're also aware of the role that sexism and misogyny and racism has played in our political cycles. So I'm curious, do you think that America's evolved, watching what we witnessed in 2016 and the role particularly that sexism played then, have we evolved to have women in leadership roles in this country?
Really? What part did sexism play in 2016? You had a woman who didn't outright win her primary. Hillary Clinton did not win the Democrat primary in 2016. Bernie Sanders legitimately won it. They cheated in Texas, and then they cheated with superdelegates to give her the nomination because it was hers. That's the opposite of sexism. That is the opposite of discriminating against her because of her sex and denying her an opportunity. In fact, that's sexism towards men, because the man was discarded and Hillary Clinton was promoted outside of their system to be the nominee. And it's very similar to what we're seeing with Kamala Harris now. They threw out the dude and they promoted the woman. No one voted for her. There's no primary or caucus where they walked away choosing Kamala Harris as the party nominee. She was just coronated. That's all it was. They had a period of time where they went on a PR offense. They had a huge PR campaign, and they were convincing everyone not to revolt at the DNC. That's all that was. Don't revolt, just go along with it. And everyone dutifully did. All the sheep, they were herded into the pen, and they dutifully did so. She was coronated. So how are you questioning whether or not this is an issue of sexism when you had back-to-back, like, two females who were given the nomination because they were female? I mean, keep in mind, Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris because he promised James Clyburn and all the voters that he was going to pick a female of color. How is that sexism? Unless you want to argue that it's pandering to say that irregardless of merit, we're picking someone because they're a woman. Now, that is pandering. It's condescending. You, a smart person, would define that as sexism. But if it's an advantage for the left, then they don't mind using that sexism to their advantage. They only claim it's sexism if it disadvantages them in some way. Otherwise, they're happy to use it and call it empowerment. So this is a weird, that was such a weird take that they're even having this conversation going into this. And I hope that Trump notices this, because this will flavor some part of the debate or some part of the question. Dana Bash asking the questions, being the debate moderator, this will be a part of the debate. She will ask some sort of question that is flavored with that sentiment. And I hope Trump is seasoned and that he can turn that around and offset it and make it look dumb. Because they're going to have to. Because you are going to have still some people who are like, well, I don't know, maybe she is. It's so annoying. We have Florida Man on the way. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It is the folks over at Burn a Gun, the non-firearm firearm, because, you know, there are some places that are gun-free zones, and that's just the reality of private property and the reality of life. And so in this situation, you know, you want to make sure that you're able to defend yourself, and this is where Burn a Gun comes in. It's a Burn a Gun non-firearm firearm. It's legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks or permits required, and it can be shipped directly to your door. And gun-free isn't applicable to Burna, and it's practical whenever you're going into a gun-free zone. And so you can learn more about the Burna. Visit Burna.com/Dana, B-Y-R-N-A, Burna.com/Dana, and get 10% off. That's B-Y-R-N-A, Burna.com/Dana for 10% off.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This is crazy. So a family is suing because a Florida doctor, during a man's surgery, he removed the liver instead of the spleen.
Oh, liver's pretty important.
That's a pretty important. It was at the Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast Hospital in Miramar Beach. It's under investigation after a surgery last month ended tragically. The family claims the doctor removed the wrong organ, leading to the man's death. 70-year-old William Bryan and his wife were visiting their rental property. He felt pain on his left side. They went to the hospital. The doctor, Shaknovsky, diagnosed a spleen surgery, urged it to be performed by him. They apparently performed the surgery, and there's like a lot of stuff that happened. They were trying to transport him to a different hospital. He said he'd bleed to death if he moved. They found out that they said a pathologist told Beverly that a bag labeled spleen actually contained the guy's liver. And then when they performed the autopsy, he still had his spleen. Oh my gosh. This is crazy. Now this guy apparently has 14 years experience in medicine. But it's his second wrong site surgery in 2 years. A previous case was settled at the same facility just last year. Holy cow.
So he had a good liver and a bum spleen.
And they left the bum spleen and took out the good liver.
Good Lord.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know.
What's the payout on a lawsuit like that? What do you think?
I don't even know.
It'd have to be.
That hospital's going to have to close. This is no way. A Florida man tries to pass off a DUI by swapping seats with a passenger after the crash. Guys, that's never going to work. That's just not. This is Fox 5, 35 Orlando, Volusia County. A Florida man was taken to jail last week for driving under the influence in Volusia County. Lance Green, 59, of Port Orange, was arrested on charges of DUI and resisting an officer without violence, according to the affidavit. Deputies responded to a crash, and they said that in the report, the passenger in the pickup truck, it rear-ended another truck. A Ram rear-ended a Ford. And the Ford passenger was injured but declined medical attention. The guy who was in the Ram swapped seats with the female passenger in an effort to portray her, the woman named Susan Green, as the driver and not Mr. Gray. So the officers ordered Gray, who showed signs of impairment, to exit the vehicle multiple times. He refused. He ultimately complied but refused certain DUI tests, he said, due to back and hip problems. He also declined a breathalyzer. He was booked into jail and $2,000 bond. Why didn't he just have her drive in the first place? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Of course, you know, then there's this woman. Florida woman, mayor of Naples, Florida, was arrested for a DUI after she blew twice the legal limit, followed a couple home, crashed into their mailbox, and just parked right on their lawn. That's a problem. She was arrested. She followed this couple home in her car while she was drunk, ran into their mailbox via law and crime, and then parked on their front yard. She's also literally the mayor of Naples. Oh my gosh, she's got a count of driving under the influence, according to Collier County Sheriffs. It happened on August 28th. A man had to call 911. He said they were being followed home by this car. She did not know them. That's the thing. She didn't know them. And the man in 911, when he called 911, he goes, quote, this is the readout of the call, quote, "Yeah, I think the mayor is drunk. And she just drove over our mailbox." And the dispatcher goes, "The mayor did?" And he goes, "I don't know. She's claiming to be the mayor. I don't know who she is." And the dispatcher inquires, "Did she ever tell you her name?" And the man asks the woman in the yard, "What is your name, ma'am?" And the woman yells back, "Mayor Teresa Heitman." Oh, boy. And then the police arrived. They said, "Ms. Mayor, will you come over here for me right now?" And she said, "No, don't call me mayor." Oh, my gosh. She goes, "I am Teresa Heitman right now. I am not the mayor." Oh, my gosh. It is so bad. It is so bad. And there's no answers to why she followed the couple home. None. So, okay. You know. Now, this Florida school district bans a popular alphabet manga. It's an LGBT, popular, really, LGBT manga. Nobody reads LGBT manga. And instead, they suggested Chainsaw Man in its place. Now, Chainsaw Man is an absolute amazing substitute. Excuse me. Now, some of the people in the news don't think so, because they just see Chainsaw Man and they're like, "What in the world is this? What?" But they said they were complaining because apparently the manga covered sexual themes of an age-inappropriate sort. It comes down to age appropriateness. That's what apparently these people don't realize. They think age inappropriateness somehow equates to banning. No, it's age inappropriateness. Chainsaw Man's totally appropriate. We got more on the way. Third hour next. Folks who help bring you free radio, Black Rifle Coffee. Great coffee. The only coffee I drink. Everything else is garbage. It is. I just won't have coffee if I don't have it. And I'll sit and suffer, and so will everyone else with me. But whether you're restocking your own coffee or if you want a gift for someone who really likes coffee, they have this variety sampler that you can try. It's their Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. And no, you do not get a discount if you can repeat the whole name, but you can save 20% with code Dana. It's the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler. It's all of the classic Black Rifle Coffee blends. So you can get 4-ounce bags of the Silencer Smooth, AK-47 Espresso, Beyond Black, and Just Black. Every flavor is amazing. Now, this is ground. You can still get bags of beans and all that other stuff, but this is the ground, so you can try it, you know, see if you like it, you know, get this variety pack, and it comes in a cool blue box, so it's a great gift for somebody who loves coffee. Veteran-owned, veteran-run company, everything that they do, from the roast to the bag art, plays homage to American culture and military history, and you've got whole bean K-cups ready to drink. You also can find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Join that coffee club, have your coffee delivered, free shipping to your porch, frequency of shipment and type of roast is up to you. So experience outstanding flavor and aroma at blackriflecoffee.com. Order the Complete Mission Fuel Kit Variety Sampler today and get 20% off using code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
I think, you know, when people say diversity and inclusion, I think everybody agrees, or most people generally agree, that it's a good thing, right? But I think right now we also need to bring in the word equity, right? Diversity is when you say that there's, you know, many different types of people with different backgrounds and they're all, you know, invited to the table. Inclusion is when, you know, we include all of their ideas. But equity is when we make sure that all of the people who are at the table have equal access to making sure that their ideas and their thoughts are heard. And unfortunately, I think some of the statistics that you quoted is that we don't have that much leadership or representation.
I mean, if that sounds like communist propaganda, which it is, the discussion of or the promotion of equity, that's exactly what it is. If it sounds like communist propaganda, it's because it is. That's flashback video of the deputy for New York Governor Kathy Hochul. That's Linda Sun. That is the woman who was arrested for being a CCP spy, literally just arrested for being a communist Chinese party spy, her and her husband. And she was working at the one of the highest levels of government in New York State. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here at the top of this third hour. You know, we were having a discussion about this DOJ and the Russian influence, and we talked about tenant media and all of that. All of that's bad. Look, having Russia pay for influence is bad. What is also bad, communists, you know, again, communists paying for influence is bad. Also bad, Democrats putting communists into offices of power in the United States, like Linda Sun in New York, right under Kathy Hochul, or having communist honeypot people like Eric Swalwell with Fang Fang, or having communists work as spies and drive around Dianne Feinstein. We could go on and on. There are a lot of very wild associations and Democrats that have employed commie spies. I think that's kind of a huge problem as well. The vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, Tiananmen Tim. This guy literally getting married on the anniversary of Tiananmen Square so he could always remember his wedding. That's a psycho move. That's psycho. So that's kind of a problem. You can talk about communists paying for influence, that's a problem. But Democrats have been putting communists into positions of power here in the United States for years now and having them run, like in the case of New York Governor Kathy Hochul, their offices. So that's a huge point that I feel like we need to make in all of this. By the way, can I just ask this? I know I asked this before. Can I ask this one more time? Kane, let me ask you. You're in government and you've got a government colleague. Yeah. And you know, we know what government people make. You have a government colleague whose husband also works in government. But yet they can afford not one, not two, but three multi-million dollar homes. They carry around designer goods. They're dressed in designer head to toe. And the wife drives a Ferrari. Would that be weird?
Yeah.
They're government people. Was that weird?
It'd be the same if I worked at a business and a colleague that was apparently making the same as me for doing the same thing is somehow doing all this other stuff. Of course, it's a little weird, and I'd kind of want to find out what's going on.
I'd be like, why are you driving a Ferrari? You're the deputy under the New York governor.
Right.
How are you driving a Ferrari?
And mainly I'd want to know how I also could drive a Ferrari.
I also get this vaudeville villain cash?
The point is I'd have curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, influence. Democrats are very worried about influence. And again, I'm not condoning it. I talked about it all last hour. The Russian influence with that tenant media and all of that. But to say nothing about the influence of Hunter Biden. Interesting. I mean, Hunter Biden got millions of dollars. He, case in point, you know how important it is to control the elements of energy, correct? We all see how important this is. That's why it's so important for the United States to be self-sufficient with oil and gas. And that's why it was, you know, really great for a while under the previous administration that we were able to be like the net exporter of crude, even over Middle Eastern countries, even over OPEC, which was great. Now that's all changed, of course, because Democrats wanted to make us subservient to all of these other powers. But I digress. it's incredibly important to be able to control these elements of energy, because energy is a national security issue. You had one of the biggest rare earth element mines in the world, in the People's Democratic Republic of Congo, right? What do you need rare earth elements for, or REE? You need that for the Green New Agenda. You need it for all the solar gobbledygook that's made, all the solar stuff. You have to have things like cobalt and copper and all different sorts of minerals that it's very difficult to extract them. The extraction process is exponentially dirtier than anything that you would ever find with oil and gas. And by the way, the United States pioneered the cleaner extraction of all of those, you know, traditional and replenishable energy forms of energy long before the government ever decided that it was fashionable to mandate it, because they actually care about renewable resources, because that's what oil and gas are. But I digress. So you have one of the largest rare earth element mines in the world, and you have the vice president, now president, his son out there making bank with, if it's not Romania, it's with Ukraine, and then CEFC, the communist Chinese company. He helped the communist Chinese acquire the mineral rights for that mine with Rosemont Seneca. His firm, in partnership with the communist Chinese, he was trading influence. He helped facilitate their acquisition of one of the largest, if not the largest, cobalt mine in the world in Africa. Interestingly enough, that's also the same mine that ABC, and I've mentioned this before, did an undercover story on, where they discovered that a significant portion of the labor force for that mine in the People's Democratic Republic of Congo were children, and that they were hand mining cobalt. That's the mine that Hunter Biden helped the Chinese acquire. If you want to have a discussion about influence, I think that's pretty important to discuss influence. I mean, who do you think, let me look at it like this. Who do you think had more reach? Maybe Lauren Southern doing a video and was duped into signing with this company that was taking Russian cash, or perhaps Hunter Biden selling off important assets and giving the communist Chinese more and more power over a Green New Agenda that his dad's trying to enforce over everyone? Just saying. That's a beard stroker for sure. That one's a tough one. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, who do you think, like an influencer with a few thousand views online, or I don't know, the deputy under Kathy Hochul in New York, who's blocking meetings with Taiwanese officials? If you want to have a discussion about influence, who do you think had more? Just curious. I got to say, if that's how the Russians are spending their money, they're dumber than I thought. No wonder they're broke and they're breadless. No wonder. What a bunch of dumbasses. That's how you're spending your money? Well, let's see. We're going to spend it on influencer videos. I don't have a beard, but I'm doing the vaudeville villain thing. We're going to do influencer videos. Yes, that's what we'll spend. Meanwhile, the Chinese are like, we got our people in government. Right. We got our people in positions of government. Look, we're right under the governor in New York. We just bought a damn mine with the help of the president's son in Africa. Oh, you guys paid a couple mil for some videos? Oh, good job. Good job, that. Well, that's why Russia's the second banana to China right now. Now, see, if our government was smart, we would play up that rivalry and turn them against each other. You know, if you really wanted to carry out a PSYOP, that's what you would do. But they're not doing that because they're too busy shaking down people at J6. I don't know. I'm just assuming, right? Isn't that what they're doing? We heard there's a grandma that looked at the Capitol on January 6th. Over. Copy that. We got to go to her house and raid it. Over. ATF here. Can we shoot the dog? Over.
They never get permission.
Yeah, that's what that means. We see ATF doing this. It's, can I shoot the dog? Yes, you can shoot the dog. That's what that means. I don't know if you know that. So, I don't know. I just, you know, in a competition of that, it just, does that seem weird to anybody else? Me? Yeah. Can we talk about Tim Walz's hands?
Do we have to?
Will you pop that video up where he's like waving at people? Kane and I disagree on something. I just think that he is.
We disagree?
I just think he's a spaz. I don't know.
Yeah, I said he waves like Richard Simmons.
He moves like Richard Simmons, but he is like belligerent, like that one drunk neighbor that you don't want to see if you're out at the neighborhood restaurant and he's at the bar and he's already three sheets and it's 7 o'clock. So
I still think a drunk person's more honest than this guy.
So Tim Walz wearing his camo hat. He's at this one event and he's the way he waves his hands. Now, Kane was joking and Kane's like, oh, he's, and you can see as he's waving his hands like, I don't even know what that is. Kane goes, he's waving his hands like a gay dude. And I'm like, I think he's just a spaz. But, you know, if I wanted to be really a conspiracy theorist with it, he'd be like, well, this is what a gay dude looks like if he's waving his hands. I don't know any gay dudes that wave their hands like that. That's the thing. I mean, he looks like he's performing on stage.
I mean, that's accurate. That's why I didn't think we disagreed. Guys.
Nobody who really wears camo waves like that. Right. Sorry. I don't know. I think the guy's a spaz, and I think he's got temper issues, and I think he's putting on a show. And honestly, he better be giving thanks to the good Lord above that it's a short campaign for him. Because can you imagine this guy actually tested by a grueling traditional time for a campaign? I don't think that he could act that long. I really don't. You all know it's an act. You saw The Real Him come out when he jerked his kid's arm off on stage. Golly, I thought he was going to rip his arm off his body. Just saying, you know, I feel like it's an act with him. I think he's got temperament issues. I mean, he would have to. I mean, his wife was like salivating. I enjoyed the burning destruction and the tire fires. And I loved the smell coming through my window. That's psycho, man. She's like Elizabeth Bathory, Jiminy Christmas. I loved the weeping and gnashing of the teeth and the fires of hell outside my window as everyone rioted. That kind of explains the match, doesn't it? Doesn't it? They're kind of just saying they kind of seem made for each other in that way. He's not answering questions though. Real quick, audio soundbite 12. He is just ignoring all the reporters like somebody else too. Listen. Oh my gosh, you're asking him a question? That's not going to happen.
What's your policy on gay
policy? That's not going to happen. Now he's running away. No, running away.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
And I ended up completely. I lost my rundown. Okay, here we are. Astronauts stuck on the space station. They're going to be brought home. This literally sounds like a Space Marine 2 thing. They're going to be brought back home by Space Force Guardian. What? That sounds amazing. Can we also get a ride on Space Force Guardian? Just saying. It's Space Force Guardian. It's going to command a mission later this month to safely bring home two astronauts who've been unexpectedly stuck aboard the ISS. It's going to be the first time a Guardian is going to launch into space for such a high-profile operation. I didn't even know that that was. This actually sounds. Listen to this sentence. This sounds like the coolest sentence ever. Colonel Nick Haig, an active duty Space Force Guardian, will be joined by Roscosmos cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov aboard the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft for NASA's Crew 9 mission. Wow, that sounds like a Michael Bay movie. I'm reading a Michael Bay movie. That's not a real. No, it's a real story. They were going to join two other astronauts for the trip, but they're such hard asses that they're just going to go by themselves. They're going to hoist these astronauts up on their shoulders and fling them back into the Earth's atmosphere, just like that. Actually, it sounds kind of cool. We'll keep an eye on it. The final screams of mummified salt miners frozen in time for over 2,500 years. Salt's a really good preserver, you know. That's kind of crazy. The so-called salt men of Iran, they were mining for salt when it collapsed, burying them alive. Their horrified remains are frozen with their mouths open. They were screaming, the salt men. And it's like they're well-preserved. That's terrified jerky. I don't even know. It's just terrifying. Oh, Delta's passenger disaster. Another severe fecal incident has forces an emergency U-turn over the Atlantic. Maybe just if you have tummy troubles, what do you take for that? They have commercials for them. Yeah, like take something. And a native prairie project that was attracting endangered monarch butterflies near the zoo has been mowed down by the city. I feel like I'm going to come back to this because we're out of time here, but we got more in store. Stick with us.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Being incarcerated for a couple of days is traumatic, much less the weeks, months, and years that we're seeing that happen. And so part of my plan is also a reduction of that. And then also, again, what we need to do about taking, demilitarizing our schools. And taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
Oh, geez, shut up.
We're in particular.
That's flashback audio of Kamala Harris, who's, you know, she's talking about school resource officers and saying that, and this was what, from 2023, saying that, you know, we need to pull these officers out of schools. It was a school resource officer that engaged the killer in the school yesterday in Georgia. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of the third hour. That school resource officer is a hero. That SRO saved lives. And here she is. I pointed this out in video yesterday. Here she is talking about how she wants to take them out of the schools. The left thinks that school security only looks like one thing. There are multiple ways to approach security. And the fact that they don't know what it looks like showcases that they are unqualified to take lead in debating the subject or even discussing it. Some of the best security, I'm going to tell you, I've been to places where it's like the Israelification of security. You're being watched and measured like before you get there. I mean, there are multi layers, and some of the best security, you don't even know it is. Some, it's purposeful to show an optical deterrence, right? That's fine. But others, it's actually to do more to thwart things, not just so much a force multiplier, but to actually get in and thwart and pick out the bad seeds. There's multiple ways to do it. I'm going to tell you, I got really aggravated yesterday, and this is a topic that really makes me angry. I was at my desk yesterday, and I was preparing for some of the show today. And I have the TV on in the background. I don't even remember who it was, but they were all dudes. Not that that matters. It could have been a chick. That's irrelevant. But I heard no fewer than three talking heads. None of the anchors. They were all the guests. Three talking heads on Fox blame video games. They each cited within a 25-minute period. They each cited video games. Oh, violent video games. You know, we have to have a discussion about violent video games. And that came from apparently like one of this kid's death threats the year prior was on a gaming forum, and that was it. You know nothing about what he's played. You know nothing about it. You're immediately going to rush to judgment. You would caution people into rushing into judgment about gun control, but you're going to go full off into game control? The reason that I have such a visceral hatred of that argument is because it is fake virtue signaling. It's a virtue signaling argument. It's a lazy swap out of guns for video games. That's all it is. It is the Tipper Goring of video games. And it's always people who never play them. Not a single person who goes off and says, oh, it's violent video games. None of them have ever played them. I play games. I've always played my whole life. I don't call myself a gamer. I just do it casually. I introduce my kids to games. We play as a family. We'll do family co-op. I played games my entire life. When I was getting ready to give birth to my firstborn, I was literally playing Mortal Kombat up until the moment I left to go to the hospital to get induced. Not kidding. I mean, I would have my son in my lap and I would be playing on my free time while he's napping. He'd like to be held. I mean, I didn't turn into a serial killer or anything else. It is a lazy argument that people make, and they are making the anti-gun argument, but they're just changing out the variables. It's just a variable. A plus B equals C. You're switching out the letter. You're switching something out. That's it. Furthermore, there's zero evidence to support this. Penn and Teller, I can't say the name of their show, It's like, and they took it offline, apparently. Who was it? Paramount that did it, I guess. They took it offline. They had a show for short. It was called BS. They did an hour-long deep dive into the argument about violent video games, and they destroyed it. They destroyed it. And they actually had kids that played violent video games, and they took them to the range and all this stuff. And it was wild. They talked to health mental health professionals, all of this. I don't want people to be baited or to be apathetic and slide into this. That's like saying, well, why not stop at violent video games? And if you watch a violent movie, if you read a violent book, if you read a manga that has violence in it, if you listen to aggressive music, I mean, where's the line drawn? People who think it's realistic have never played it. And I question their definition of realistic. Just like anything else, you know what's good, you know what's evil, you know what's allowable by law and what isn't allowable by law. And we also know that there are people who, some have mental health issues where they're not a danger to anyone, some become a danger to themselves or others, or they have that within them, or they just choose evil. You can also just be evil. We got to be really careful in that we're not just throwing these like universal definitions on everything. But I get so mad when I hear people going after video games. And it is such a bad look, too. I mean, it literally is the Tipper Gore argument. Remember Tipper Gore back in the day? She wanted to put those explicit lyrics labels on everything. And Dee Snider, even though he's a stooge for big government, actually went and testified before Congress against this. It was wild. I was in elementary school and that was happening. It's a wild thing. But video games, to blame them, people will talk about that, but they won't say, well, let's talk about the family. Let's talk about the family. The aunt was on Facebook saying that he needed help and everybody knew it. Okay, well, why can't we talk about that? Why is everyone, we got to talk about violent video games. It's so dumb. I also don't believe the left when they say that they care about gun violence. And here's why. You had a 49ers player shot in the chest. And the 17-year-old that did it is being charged for attempted murder. He was already in trouble on a gun charge and was allowed to walk 3 days before he shot Ricky Pearsall in the chest. Tell me that you care about gun violence when you're allowing people that have rap sheets with quote-unquote gun violence, you're allowing them right out to walk. 17-year-old boy was charged with attempted murder. DA Brooke Jenkins said that's how he's going to be charged. They're not going to release his name because he's a juvenile, but he has a record. And he was allowed to walk 3 days before he shot this player in the chest. But yet you're supposed to believe that, and it's a left DA, leftist policies that let him walk, you're supposed to believe that they care about quote-unquote gun violence. You know, they care so much about quote-unquote gun violence. In my hometown of St. Louis, there was a boy named Vondra Myers, a young man, 17 years old. He ended up in a shootout with a plainclothes police officer after he was spotted leaving a well-known drug house. He was supposed to have been home. He had conditions upon his release. He was out on not even a tenth of his bail. And he was allowed to walk by the judge, a leftist judge. And he was in trouble already. The reason he was allowed to walk prior, before he got engaged in the shootout, was because he was there on a separate gun charge. He was driving mad down Grand Avenue, downtown St. Louis, daylight, people around everywhere. He had a gun on him, 17 years old, had a pistol. He's an illegal prohibited possessor. He exits the car, tosses the gun. He ends up getting arrested. He apparently had already shot at someone, according to several reports. Where's the concern about quote-unquote gun violence then? So no, they only care about it if they can use it to make the innocent victims. And I got to tell you, if you don't want people to be conspiracy theorists and question how all of a sudden these kids are flipping and doing this stuff and how they seem to be on these agencies' radars, then maybe you should do your due diligence and follow up, particularly when it is very clear that there is a legal pathway to have them adjudicated prohibited possessors or have them committed to an institution when you're threatening to kill people. In the case of Parkland, when you're pulling a gun to your classmate's head, months before any of this other stuff, when you're knocking the teeth out of your mom's head months before you shoot up your school, when you're online threatening to kill everybody before you go and shoot up your school, guess what? You have a legal pathway to have someone committed to an institution to evaluate them, completely observing due process. You don't need red flag to tear apart due process for everyone else to follow the existing legal pathway. The left wants you to believe that you have to give up your rights in order to protect yourself. But guess what? They're not going to protect you either. They just don't want you to be able to protect yourself. They're going to make it easier for criminals to get at you. I mean, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. What are the priorities? If you don't want people to be conspiracy theorists, then some of these agencies need to, the higher ups need to make it easier on the rank and file and do their damn jobs. And this is systemic. It's not just FBI. It's Secret Service. Thankfully, we have some of our law enforcement agencies. Like our, I love my Tarrant County Sheriff. I love my sheriff. They do a great job. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody has the same kind of law enforcement. Not everybody has the same sheriff. But if you don't want conspiracy theorists, then be honest with people. Like keeping the diary of the Nashville killer secret because you're too terrified to confirm what we already knew, that it was radical gender theory that propelled this mentally ill woman towards a murder spree. Again, another one. No, instead we're told that we got to give up our rights. We got to give up due process. We have to give up this. We have to give up that. We don't have to give up any of those things. In fact, they're a reason that we should have them all the more. It's just unbelievable. You, we, the innocent, are always punished for the actions of the criminals. You think it'll be any better after November? Imagine. Look how bad everything is right now. Imagine. You get these Marxists in office in November. You think it's going to get any better? No. No, it's not. It's going to get a hell of a lot worse.
The Dana Show Podcast. Your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will you commute your son's sentence? Are you glad your son has pled in his case?
Yes, the dulcet sounds.
He's not going to answer any questions on that. You know he's totally going to pardon him, though. And why wouldn't he? What does he got to lose? What does Joe Biden have to lose at this point? They screwed him over. He's totally pardoning that. He's totally pardoning Hunter Biden. Absolutely. He's going to pardon him. It's not a question. Welcome back to the program. Finishing out this third hour. Did you guys see this tweet from the FBI? They really, wait a minute. Don't, before you show it yet, Juan, you can get it ready, but let me set it up. The FBI, they had some tough words for foreign adversaries meddling in American democracy. Tough words, you know, and I've heard some really tough talk before. One of my favorites came from Tombstone, where you had Wyatt Earp played by Kurt Russell. You go ahead and skin that smoke wagon. I love that one. Or he said, I see any man with a red sash and I'm going to kill him. You go tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. I mean, I've heard some real tough talk in my time and some inspiring language that's out there. But never before until now have we seen such inspiring, tough talk from a government agency. This from the FBI. They quote FBI Director Christopher Wray to foreign adversaries meddling in American democracy, quote, knock it off. Oh, man. Knock it off. You tell them. Knock it off. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you place don't? And then where would you place knock it off?
Wait, is 1 good or 10 good?
I don't, 10's hardcore, I guess. I don't know. I can't, this is a, no, people are like, is it real? Yes, it's real. It's literally from their verified account. I'm not making this up. It's actually real. Kane asked me the same thing. He was like, this is not real. I'm like, I promise you it is.
But it totally is. It's from, you actually retweeted, instead of doing the screenshot, you actually retweeted it so people could see the original. And
I mean, I even was like, is this really real? No, it's real.
I cannot believe that's.
Can you just see it? Arms crossed, knock it off.
Turn this car around.
Yeah, I'm going to turn this car around. Where was this tough talk back in 2016, by the way, when y'all were trying to undermine the election then and trying to act like Trump was this like big Russian stooge? Why were you guys, where were you guys at then? I'm curious. Yeah, this is just like, don't. See, when I hear knock it off, I want to keep it on. I want to do the opposite of knock it off. I want to hold it on. That's what I want to do. Right? It just saying. All right, Kane. Today yes. in stupidity, sir.
Well, Juan, this one will be cut five. So who's been in office for the past 4 years?
If you Biden Harris.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, here's Democrat Senator Murphy saying that, well, if you want to stop these school shootings, just elect Kamala Harris. Here we go.
We got a choice this election. Kamala Harris stood up on stage yesterday and told you she's going to make this a priority. She's going to work to ban these AR-15s. She's going to work to make sure that everybody goes through a background check before they buy a gun. Donald Trump went up on stage a couple months ago and told you that not only is he going to do nothing, he's going to repeal the progress that we have made. Mass shootings are actually down this year compared to last year.
Can we just point out that Trump's not been in office for the last 4 years? And if there are any problems that they're claiming they're going to fix that have manifested in the last 4 years, I would tend not to believe them.
Yeah. Yeah. As would I. That's interesting. Interesting. Well, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack Chapter and Verse, because I have all kinds of good stuff that goes up there. In the meantime, I got Space Marine 2 later. If only if I'm a good girl and I get all my work done. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.